This is episode 4 of the Traders, you are an idiot, of the Traders NAB AFL Fantasy Podcast. We've played our first head-to-head games and we're going to look ahead to round 4.
Welcome to the NAB AFL Fantasy Podcast. I'm Roy, I coach Destroy, and I'm here with Warnie.
Coach of the Warndogs.
And Calvin.
Coach of the Calvinators.
Big week's over, boys. Week 3, Warndog, how did you go?
How'd I go? Well, we had our first week of the head-to-heads in our leagues, which was nice. So I notched myself up quite a few wins because I scored pretty well. 21-16, so to keep the Warndogs juggernaut rolling. Oh, I'm still inside the top 100, 57th actually overall, so moving along pretty well.
Yeah, and
I still had a fair bit of, I think everyone copped a few issues, and I know you blokes did, but yeah, the scores were down a little bit on what we saw in that round one, so a couple of weeks where I think we're, it's probably what the normality is, those sort of 2000s to 2-1 sort of scores, I think, at the moment, because that's what we should be looking at.
Yeah, got an issue, get a tissue, and I had a couple, but I was saved by a bit of a giant. We'll talk about him later. I scored 20-86, which was pretty solid.
And you were whinging about your score. That was all right.
Oh, it could have been so much better, and it probably should have been so much better. But, yeah, so I'm hogging, floating around the 2,000 rank at the moment. But, Troy, how'd we go?
Yeah, I got 1984. Yep. I'm in about probably 200 leagues, and if I beat you in any head-to-head, find that delete your team button and get out of the competition.
Oh, you went all right though, Roy, because I honestly, as I wrote in the article on Sunday night, I thought that you might have been struggling to get to 1,000.
Well, have a look at that score. It's pathetic.
Well, it's not that bad. I think that
it is bad. Let's not sugarcoat it. It's bloody pathetic, but.
All right, so it was a round of highs and lows. So let's have a look at those ups and those downs for all of our sides. That is our plus threes and negative threes. I'll kick it off with my plus three. And I'm going to go with, I played Ben Griffiths in defender six position, which was always thrown up because I think all of us have those decisions to make each week of what rookies to play in which position. And so I chose him over Langford, who had played those first couple of weeks. Obviously, Langford had a pretty ordinary score in round two. But then I thought, and this was dumb by me, well, Captain Hindsight says it's dumb, that the scores wouldn't be real big on Friday night. And
we saw that, but not for him.
So I'm glad that sort of that came off. And then Griffiths was awesome. He had 88 points. So certainly a very, very worthy plus three for me.
Without a doubt. My plus three, well, here's the deal. A rumour went through the change rooms at Destroy that you could actually die from leather poisoning. So, a few of the guys were scared off, but I saw McRae and Treloar talking in a corner, and it turns out they both got heaps of the pill, but Treloar took the cake, plus three, 159. He was amazing and tackled like an absolute machine.
He was good. I tell you what, in those conditions, like you could have worried that, you know, people weren't going to score well, but he did get 14 tackles, I think it was.
Yeah,
he's
a beast.
That helped boost it. But even if he didn't have those, it was still a very, very good score.
Look, he got 33 touches, which is not many, really, when you have a score of 159 points. So as you said, did it with the tackles. Look, he was my plus three as well. But it kicked one goal three.
Yeah.
He could have had more.
What could it have been?
Yeah, he was awesome.
No, he was the top scorer of the round too, wasn't he?
Yeah,
he was the top scorer for the year, dog.
Well, okay.
Top scorer for the year.
The whole 3 weeks that we've had.
Yep, someone's got to be there and he's there.
He's there, all right. So let's have a look then at the negatives. So I'm going to throw mine out there. And I had a little bit of a look back at the footy record that I wrote in last week, and
pretty good advice in that usually.
We all have. Yeah. We've done pretty well. Last week I said something about how Calvin and Roy, they went the tried and true method of Dean Cox, number one runner.
Yeah,
I said that I saved some dollars and went with Tom Hickey, and good call so far, I think I ended up.
What did he have, Tom?
Yeah, he had 39 points. It was
always
going to be a tough task for him over there.
Extremely tough.
Against the two rucks, but they played three, obviously. Yeah. So it was going to be tough. He didn't have a lot of hit outs, but he did spend a fair bit of time around the ball, wasn't really getting amongst it enough. And I guess you're against Cox, he is a machine, and he was good in his...
You're against the best ruck combo in the competition, and he was underdone. So it was definitely hard. He was definitely a
but
bit
he's still
limp
got,
out there.
He's got quite a low break even, so yeah. it's not the end of the world for old
Higgy. Didn't even
Higgy.
Pay $300,000 for him, so it's still a good pick, but yeah, I'm not
negative
surprised
three
that
for
he didn't
this
go
week.
Well. Yeah, fair enough. Lacra gets off the hook for me because, I mean, he does have an excuse considering his arm's snapped in half.
Yep.
So Tom Mitchell gets it.
Oh!
Tom, he's
where
there.
Did that come from?
He started the season all right, but yeah, he was hopeless. He eventually got subbed off for 41 when I thought, you know, he still had the last quarter to come. He'll get to 70.
Yeah,
but no,
like he does.
No, 40, disgusting.
Look,
negative three.
Last year, there was a pig nomination floating around his head.
Well, he can pump out 140.
You're right, he can.
Yeah,
he did it in a pre-season game.
As long as there's no underlying injury, I'm just writing it off as one to forget about and leaving him in there confident that he'll bounce back with 100 next week.
As long as he's fit. Like, we don't know anything about it. I think it's seriously just... Was he just having a shocker?
I don't know.
Well,
I hope so.
Luke Parker had a blinder.
He kicked four.
Yeah. And that should be Tom.
Yeah, I don't know.
That doesn't make any sense.
He got the negative three. Hopefully that puts a rocket up.
Yeah, good one. It works sometimes.
Now, Lacra and Mitchell get off the hook for me because I did one of my old-time classic moves when I trade in a player and try to upgrade a player. So I upgraded Higgins to Zorko.
Oh.
What a fantastic move. Because Higgins pumped out and was on track for a monster score.
Yeah, he was.
Right?
He was.
Ended up with 95, which is a great score.
Good for him.
Zorko, a stinking 59.
Look, can I just say something? Zorko, that score is extremely disappointing.
Yes.
Because he came in with such a low break even and in such great form, racking up 30 touches at will. However, he copped a massive knock that set him back.
Yeah,
he never recovered from that massive hit in
the
forward line.
Yeah.
Most people wouldn't have come back on the ground after that, but he got up and battled away. Yes, it's disappointing, but no reason to chop him or anything like that, I wouldn't think.
No. Well, we all three of us bought him in this week.
Well, he
and
looked
so
awesome,
I think he would have been one of the most popular inclusions this week. And yeah, his break even's still 70. He'll break through that this week and he'll be fine.
Oh, look, and in that first two games, he played Hawthorn and Geelong, like the two hardest teams to probably score against. And he came out, he's averaging like wicked numbers, as you said, cop the knock, 59. But yeah,
I
to
got
do
him
that,
in for a walk up 120 this week.
Yeah, oh, especially against Gold Coast.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, so it was a bit of a kick in the guts for old Calvinator here to see Higgins smashing out a big score. So
I reckon.
Negative three for me.
Well, now that prices have started to change, we're going to play the stock market a little bit. So break evens become really relevant when we're looking to trade. Now, Calvin, is there anyone that's caught your eye this
week? Yes, a lot of the players that we've already got. So a lot of rookies such as Griffiths and Ellis all sit around with a negative break even of 17 or 19.
It's about the only thing I've done right. I'm ticking boxes with the guys on my pine.
But the lowest guy, guy at the moment has a break even of negative 22, and that's Ambrose.
Yeah, Patrick Ambrose. Was a late withdrawal on Sunday night, and I think, well, a lot of people might have had him on the field as their last.
Well, he's been
forward,
going all right, hasn't
and
he
was definitely my emergency, and he was solid, but he's likely to miss a couple more weeks now, so yeah, that's
do you hold or do you dump him, dog?
I think we might have bigger issues there, because he's still worth only 160K or
exactly.
so. Yep. He's not enough to cash down, and to be honest, there's no one coming down or coming through less. You might have to pay a little bit more money
and
to get some more
it's
security.
It's not like he's a small cow. He's a big cow with that break even. Yeah. There's a lot of milk to be made.
So I think with the trades as it is, like with our two trades per week, I think we can hold him.
Yeah.
But like I said, I think that we're going to have other issues to work with. That could be a bit of a luxury. But again, there aren't really many people there to find.
What about some premiums at the moment that are currently sliding in price? What about the big fella? What are we going to do? When is it time to jump on the pig? Because you know he's going to come good at some point.
He should. He should come good. His break even, what is it there, Roy?
143.
143. So is he going to get that this week?
Gosh, we would. If this is last year, we'd say he'll walk it in. But I don't know. I have to see back-to-back 120s from him before I will have a proper look.
He's creeping towards it.
I know, yeah.
He's
there were signs. There were signs.
So, he's down to 555K. So, he most likely will still drop a little bit more.
We'll talk about it a bit later on, but there might be a couple of big dogs limping around him as well. And there's going to be, he might actually be forced to get a bit more of the pill. But we'll keep having a look around for now.
Old Roy's rumour mill, is it?
Yeah, it might well be.
Have a look at this one, though. Shane Mumford. Now, he is the number one ruck in the competition. competition. He's amazing. And he's one of the greatest players going around, and he is loving his little change there across the bridge over to GWS. And he's averaging 120 at the moment, so one of the best in the competition. His break-even is only 45. What do you think about that, Val?
Oh, look, he's going to be, what, easily the top two scoring ruckman of the competition.
Yeah.
Easily.
Yeah, it looks that way.
Easily. So there's still plenty to get on him, and if you've got the luxury of switching, you know, from a Cox to a Mumford, then you might as well.
Well, the thing with Mumford as well, he's only gone up 31,000. So for the kind of form he is in, you certainly haven't missed out.
Definitely.
There's another guy that a lot of people passed on at the start of the year, and that was Dangerfield, who obviously can be picked as a forward. Break even now, he's starting to slide towards the point where you're like, it's nearly time to get on. Break even of 110. Probably one more week to watch him slip a little bit more, and then it's time to jump, I reckon.
Right, a couple of the in-form big dogs of the competition. Treloar, who we mentioned earlier.
Oh, you've got a new man crush.
Oh, well, I'll get on to Rocky in a minute. But Treloar, his break-even's only 55, yep. And he's still, you know, at that lower end of the 500k premiums. Yes, I said he's a premium. That's how good he looked the other day.
Woo!
But Rocky, break-even of 73, he pumped out 157. He's in unbelievable form, really, and he's a worthy pickup.
Look, another guy that everyone jumped on last week was Nathan Jones, who was...
Did everyone jump on him?
Well, a lot of people did.
They did. I wasn't getting tricked.
No, a lot of people did.
You can't get on Nathan Jones.
You did back in the day.
When he was good. No,
he wasn't. No, he wasn't.
Look, he's at 500K. He's still got a break-even of 72. He went into last round as the highest scorer in the competition. Look, he only had 73 points last week.
For him up there.
He's back to Nathan Jones.
he's not such a bad pick, I reckon.
He's all right. And look, Steve Johnson, 69 points last week, blew out his break even to 139.
Yeah, that happened pretty quick.
That poor score, after getting a really, really good tag, dropped him down 18K of what he was in round two. So, yeah, look, he's going to be there for the picking eventually.
At AFL Fantasy is where you can find us on Twitter, and this is where these questions have come from. So, the first one here comes from Clint. He says, Josh Caddy.
Oh my God, keep going.
Okay, Josh Caddy, is there more in him, or is the 60 to 70 point mark really what his level is? What do we reckon?
That's his level.
Oh, it is. He's been an absolute frustration machine. He started the year in such promising fashion that he just walked into my team without second thought, and it wasn't until today that I thought, hang on, you are just sneaking under the radar sitting there. I'm not happy with you in this he seems to be happy with his 60 or 70 points.
63 average?
Yeah.
It's terrible!
It certainly is. If I have a luxury trade this week, so not just patch up injuries, Caddy is the first man on my hit list at the moment.
So who are some options that maybe we could bring in for Caddy? One guy I've got here has got to be Merritt.
Ah, yeah, I like him.
Merritt's break even of -2, averaging 112.
I say
year.
I like him because he's an Essendon player and he's been going pretty well.
Yeah. But they did play against Witch's Hats on the weekend.
Well, he scored 131.
He did, and he's actually doing quite well because what's he averaging at the moment?
Yeah, 112.
112, so he's actually doing pretty well. He was never on the radar.
No, that is the worst part.
Those preseason numbers were pretty shocking. Like, he was about a 60-odd per 100 minutes in the preseason. So, not even a blip on the radar.
No way.
He's,
he's not going to hold that average of 112.
No, certainly not. We've got to be thinking about the break-even, so he can be a bit of a stepping stone.
But he's going to beat Caddy 60.
That's the thing. Well, we talk about him as a stepping stone. Who out of these other guys that we paid, you know, a lot of money for are racking up 35 touches and 10 marks? Honestly.
He
is amazing. And the thing is, I like this when you come to trade a player who's, you know, sort of a lesser known, risky type pickup. When you're playing the break-even game with someone like him, even if he does score poorly, it still can't be a bad pick when he's got a -2 break even.
All right. Now, if you want to get rid of Caddy, what about a guy like Fasolo then?
Well, I don't know. That probably takes us into this next question, which is a good one. So this comes from Janine. Is sideways trading Caddy to Merritt worth it, which we've just discussed, or am I better off looking at Caddy to Fasolo? So if you're making the choice, I think the sideways trade's the correct answer, as we've talked about with that break even. But you can make a few dollars if you need to. If you need 100 grand or so, that's how you can do it.
I was actually quite surprised looking at Fasolo how good he looked. I thought he was, because when in the preseason he did look very underdone, unfit, but he came out looking quite sharp. I thought he's a very good pick.
Yeah, and I didn't think he'd be part of the side, but he looks like he was.
He was solid enough
to keep his spot, I think. He avoided the vest. That was a worry I had first up, so he had that. All right, next question here. Oh, well, what's your answer then? What would you do, do you think?
Oh, I'll go sideways.
Yeah.
Look, as Roy said, a guy getting 35 touches, and yeah, it was against Witch's Hats. That's amazing.
Are you proud of your blue boys?
No, they're not my blue boys. Please do not say that.
Next question. Doggy's getting angry.
All right, next question comes from Wayne. A bit of a thing going along here with the forwards. What do we do with the underperforming rookies? He's got Rowan, he's got Kennedy Harris, and he's got Ambrose, who's injured. We've sort of discussed this before, but
what do we do
with these guys? If a lot of people might be running with those three as their last three forwards.
Well, the thing is, Ambrose, we said we'll probably hold him because we are not that thin. He needs to play one of those guys on the ground. I would be not confident fielding a team that has either Rowan or JKH on the ground.
No, 100%.
So he needs to trade. Maybe one of those guys up to Fasolo would be a good option. But in a position where you can leave Ambrose in that last spot on your forward line, I think you hold him.
Well, JKH, he's had a vest in all three games. I think he dropped in value, if I'm remembering correctly.
Yeah, right.
Or he didn't increase very much at all. But he seriously, if you can get him up to Fasolo, I think that's what you should aim to do.
Definitely.
Because there's not much else around the under 200k.
You want someone capable of a 70 in that spot, don't you?
Yeah.
And Fasolo's your best bet for that price, I think.
Definitely.
All right, next question here comes from the Wizard.
Oh,
the Wizard.
Haven't heard from the Wizard for a while.
All right. No obvious trades this week, so is it worth trading Cox for Mummy, with Cox's value likely to drop? Now, this is one that we talked about before, Mumford, just in form. It sounds like he's trying to do this as a bit of a stock markety kind of trade. Cox's break-even is 100. I think he's going to get that. Like, that's pretty good for him. He's not going to drop a lot of cash.
No.
But you've got other thoughts, Roy.
Well, with this one, I don't think you base this trade on your break-evens because they're both, elite premium rucks. I do, however, think at the end of the season, Mumford is going to average more than Cox. So if you are in an unbelievably good position at the moment and you have dodged a lot of bullets, which you must have to be able to consider such a trade, I would do it because I think Mumford is going to be the better scoring ruck out of the two.
Good call. All right. And the last question here is from Steve-O. He's put two E's in there. All right. Steve-O wants to know. He's got Lacroix like you two blokes. So this one might prick your ears up a little bit. does he go Lacroix to Zorko, Buddy, Parker, Pav, Bruce, or even Lockie Hunter? Which would be the best bet? All right. So where are you guys thinking at the moment? You've both got Zorko. So that's not an option there for you guys. Yep. But is he a good option, do you think, straight
up? Well, like we talked up Merritt, he definitely has to be in that mix. I highly doubt Steve-O would have him. Not many people have him. So Merritt would be in that mix. Those guys, they're really not putting their hand up at the moment.
No, none of them are. Well, Parker probably is after his last effort on the weekend. But
and even Buddy after the weekend
Buddy
as
too,
well,
yeah.
you could
is
say.
Is he back? He trimmed his beard, Roy.
Yeah, I know.
What do you think about that?
I'm going to keep growing it because I don't like Buddy.
Oh, is that right? I thought you might try to actually turn your...
That is a
around.
Good idea. I will actually reconsider now.
There
you go. Good thinking, Warren. Thanks for that.
Yeah, I don't know. I do like Zorko. He's still break-even. He's 70, so he's probably the best bet of those guys. I was going to say for consistency, but, he did have that 59.
Yeah,
but
he did take that big hit. He was, up until...
Yes.
Up until that game on the weekend, we were talking about how he's definitely had a role change. He's through the middle. He's racking up 30 touches. Daniel Rich is out.
Yep.
It's got to equal even more time through the middle.
I think he's the obvious answer based on all that.
Yeah, okay. We'll go Zorko.
All right, we're going to start looking towards round 4, which isn't too far away.
No, but I think you've forgotten about a new segment we've got.
What are you...
Roy's Rumour Mill!
Oh, yeah, okay. Now... Roy's rumour mill. I have learnt the last couple of weeks that you don't need to base these rumours on anything. Someone can fart and apparently they've pulled a glute.
Oh, dear.
No, well, that's... I'm being dead serious, some of the stuff I've been reading lately from respected sources, that I just don't know where these things come from. So anyway...
Are you going to make some up there?
Well, no, I'm not making them up. Someone else has made them up and I'm passing them on. This is what I've heard so far
this
week.
Well, yeah, and some of this that I've seen written on this paper, I think is legit.
Well, there's... You know, some method behind this stuff. That's not just making it up.
And we're not Roy's not trying to spook people or start like a Twitter
rampage. I'm certainly not, because I have been furious that
but
I have been...
All this is just bracing people for situations that might come, so you might need to get yourself ready, have a couple of deep breaths.
I can't believe you've called this Roy's rumour mill, because I'm going to be the one, I'm going to get all this hate towards me like I'm hating on other people.
Roy.
Okay, so I read on Twitter today that Beans has to go for a scan for his quad that kept him out for so long last year.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, well, he did pop.
Have you heard anything about
that? Yeah, and he spent a bit of time forward, didn't he?
Yeah, he did spend a lot of time forward.
Don't know what we can see from that. We'll, don't know, we'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Hopefully those Pies either name him in or out. That's the thing, like Enright on the weekend.
Yeah, like, wasn't that obvious?
We always thought he wasn't going to play, which I guess we had it. You and I both had him,
so
we traded anyway, just going, we don't want that risk.
Just knowing what the there Cats' history is like too, and his age.
Saturday
and,
night, yeah, he exactly was a late withdrawal. Yep.
Now, Chappie, he went off the ground very early. That would have been a headache for Chappie owners, because we all know what he's like, and he has been absolutely sensational this year. Now, he hobbled off. He's come on pretty good, so he's obviously been jabbed up.
Yeah, he had a few minutes down in the room, so he's pretty happy that he's moved to Western, I reckon. But he came back on, and he did smash up. He was awesome and didn't have any issues.
No.
It just depends on how he pulls up. What's sitting in my head, this is probably coming from my own little twisted thought.
As an owner, it would be
These are the worries I've got. The Bombers are playing against Fremantle over at Perth this week. Now, if there's any game they could rest him for, if he's not 100%, this would be it. So he doesn't have to fly over there, all that sort of stuff. Yep. Knowing that, you know, we've got the Anzac Day game in a couple of weeks.
Hell yeah. Does Chappie want to play in that Anzac Day?
Exactly.
Yeah,
so
he certainly does. Now, as a non-owner and a cool head, I think, why would you mess with
the form
of someone like Chappie? Especially when the Bombers are playing so well. I think he would play. At least you'll know if he gets on the plane.
That is good. Hopefully they fly out on Friday afternoon before lockout.
Oh, yeah, good point. Now, Pendles, people are saying he looked very ginger after the game, looking like Gary Rowan.
There was a good one, right? He was rumoured, obviously, all this week. He had scans and all that sort of stuff. Was he 100%? Calvin, your number one captain choice?
Of course he was 100%. He was fine. He might have got it. He's going to be all right. And, of course, if you do a little injury like that, he's going to be a little bit ginger.
Yeah.
But, look, he'll be fine. 100% right to go.
Merritt from Brisbane.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
All right.
So,
you're a week.
Lacroix, we obviously know he's got a broken arm. He's 4 to 6 weeks out. That's no rumour. That's a snapped bone, people.
Yeah.
And Daniel Rich has done his ACL. The year he's done for the big fella.
What does that mean for, say, Rocky?
More
peel.
More of the peel.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. And so he's going to improve on his 157?
Yeah, no. You were dead set. Because one of the good things about picking Rocky was that knowing that Rich's left foot kicking ability is so respected in the AFL community that he always cops a tag.
Yep, definitely.
So Rocky definitely moves up a spot to cop a tag.
But it does also release maybe a bit more midfield time for our mate Zorko, fingers crossed.
Yeah, yeah. Zorko will bounce back, hopefully.
Thinking about all this stuff, we have got round four coming up.
Yep.
So, boys, what trades are you thinking about at the moment? So you've both got Lacroix. What does your brain tell you at the moment? We'll go with Roy to start with, because yours is probably going to talk Calvin into what he's going to do.
Now, I've got a pen ready, Roy, and I'm writing it down.
I'm assuming Roy's rumour mill is absolute crap, and Beans is fine here. So, with... Who are we talking about?
Lacroix, that guy.
I'm thinking about getting him out for Merritt. I'm in a position where I need to take a bit of a risk, so to speak. So I'm thinking taking that break even, bringing Merritt in for Lacroix.
Yeah.
Calvin, what are you thinking?
Look, he's got to go for someone. And a straight sideways swap, I can do it for Chappie.
Right.
But, of course, Chappie, and I've heard the Roy's rumour mill, I'm very, very unsure about that. So, look, I've got to get a bit of money from somewhere. And, so a guy like Merritt would be the obvious choice there. Other options I've got here would be, look, I've got to do, well, t- Tom Mitchell, after his score of 40, is on the slide, so I could look to be fixing him up. But in my back line, I have to play Langford on my field.
Right.
And I don't like seeing 40.
No, you need to get rid of that.
So I wouldn't mind fixing him up with that cash.
Oh, good call. All right, for me, my two trades, I think I'm looking at a little bit of sort of shifting of cash, I suppose.
Yeah.
I've got Langdon in my midfield. Yeah. I keep forgetting which one's which. So what I can do with that, I want to get Matt Crouch in.
Oh,
he
yeah.
is just a genius. He was in the vest. Obviously, he came on earlier in the game, but he still had a 60-odd.
Yeah.
And I think with Scott Thompson now out injured, more opportunity for him. I think that he's just a ball magnet too. He's going to be one of the better fantasy players of this.
I would love
crop.
To be able to get him in, and I love that you are getting him in. With my second trade, I'm thinking about getting rid of Caddy bringing Ablett in, because I don't have Ablett yet, and he's going to pump the Hawks something chronic.
Mate of mine, are we?
Yeah, I am actually.
Oh,
that's
good.
The one thing I do have.
Good.
No ability, just money.
Rob the bank.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's it for us this week. Thank you very much for listening. And if you listen to us on iTunes, give us a little bit of a rating on there. That'd be really nice.
A good one.
The five
please.
Stars is the correct answer. So do that and write a little bit of a comment. Give us some warm fuzzies. And we'll chat to you next week. But good luck this week. Make sure you're checking afl.com.au for all your AFL fantasy.
Guess what, boys?
Needs.
Guess what?
What?
I'm going to reach 2,000 this week.
Let's go, Roy. You can do it.